Bible study in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 3, and we're at the very end of chapter 3. So we're going to close this chapter tonight, and we're going to read verses 25 and 26 in the book of Acts and chapter 3. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you, first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And the questions for those verses of scripture are we also the children of the prophets? And the other question is, what does the word kindreds mean? So I'm going to open that up to you with the questions. Are we also children of the prophets? Or you can answer, what does the word kindreds mean? What does the word kindreds mean? I mean, that should be Marie. Is somebody doing the mic? Oh, thank you, Max.
Well, to me, kindred means not only kindred, but the kindred spirit, because we have kindred in our families and how they, you know, those of us that have lots of relatives, you know that, you know, those are your kinsmen and kindred. But what really, really means so much to me is the kindred spirit that we have among ourselves with having that Holy Spirit. With the body of God, you can walk up to a brother or a sister and you know right away that connection is there. That kindred spirit is so clear and so wonderful. And it doesn't matter if you're here in the sanctuary, you're downstairs enjoying a wonderful meal, or you're on the street and you see one of your brothers and sisters, and right away that spirit just draws you to them. And it's a marvelous thing for me to
Amen.
Realize that.
And we had that kindred spirit here Sunday night. And so, anyone else? Marty, Slade, could you turn it up a little?
Well, as far as are we the children of the prophets, I believe we are. I mean, they prophesied of this time, of Jesus, of the Holy Ghost, the promise.
Go down. Go ahead, Marty. I'm listening.
You know, it says in the 11th chapter of Romans that we were grafted in, you know, as part of that inheritance. And so I would say, looking at that way, we are also children of the prophets.
Amen. Rick?
Also, like Marty was saying too, that are we the children of the prophets? And I also say yes, that I looked at James chapter 1, that we receive with meekness the engrafted word. Also, 1 Peter chapter 2, where it talks about we're newborn babes, chosen of God, his holy priesthood, acceptable by Jesus. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and we were a people that were not a people in times past. And then also, Acts 2nd chapter 47, God added to the church such as should be saved.
Amen. All right, anyone else on kindred? All right, so kindred, everyone has said exactly what it is. You're a part of a family, you're part of a kinship, you're related. And another word that it chained into was redeemed, which totally makes sense, that we're of the same kindred because we're redeemed. So, and there was all the scriptures that you gave, and then there was a lot more that we could go into. So what about this other part of the question of are we the children of the prophets? You answered some of that, but what else? What other part is there in there? You can kind of look at the handout we gave you, and it kind of gives it away. Are you children of the prophets? Yes? No? Yes? Buck says yes. Everybody agree? Yes, we are all children of the prophets. So how do you back that up with scripture? Where's the scripture to prove that? Because, I mean, I don't want you to believe anything I say unless I can back it up with scripture. Let's look at scripture on this. Yes, we are the children of the prophets. And what they're talking about, what he's teaching about here in verse 25, children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham. So you'll see in your handout just the lineage. It's a very simple handout to show how from Abraham all the way to Jesus, it's fulfilled. Prophecy is fulfilled. So this covenant that was made with Abraham, what was that? I mean, it's kind of on the paper, but do you understand this covenant and what a covenant is? God made covenants with his people. We studied this in our adult Sunday school class, covenants. So what's a covenant? Have you made any covenants? A covenant, Sherry Larson?
Well, I'm not exactly sure, but I think it's an agreement. And basically, it puts you, God gives you something to do, and then you agree to it.
It's an agreement, a promise, but God's covenants are eternal. There's the difference between when we make a covenant with somebody or a promise, sometimes we break them. But God's covenants are eternal. And I want to look at scriptures on that, starting in the Old Testament. Turn back to Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to look at this covenant and how does that covenant apply to us today? Because we're in the New Testament, a different dispensation. Genesis chapter 12, reading verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, his family, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. This is a covenant God made with Abram. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In Abram. Now we all know the story, how God called Abram from the country he lived in, his family, to go to where he didn't know. He didn't know where he was supposed to go. But he just went where God directed him to go. He went out of faith. And that faith brought obedience to God's word. So here we see this covenant that God made with Abram. His name was Abram at this time. And he was around 75 years old. 75 years old. People lived a lot longer than we do nowadays. 75 was still a vibrant age. Still very useful. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, reading verses 1 through 6. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. It was very important back at that time to have children. Children inherited. And at this time, Abram had not had any children. So he's having this conversation with God. Well, I have no children. How can I be a nation? How can I be fruitful? I have no children. Verse 4, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, the one that he just named, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. So here's a promise to Abram. You're going to have your own children. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now this took a lot of faith on Abram's part to believe God, because he had no children at this point in time. But God says to him, look at the stars. You can't number them. So shall thy seed be. And he believed it in the Lord. Abram believed it, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Because Abram believed, God counted it to Abram as righteousness. Now think about that. Righteousness because he believed, and that belief brought obedience to what God was saying. And what great faith he had to have had at this age, not having any children of his own as of yet. We see his great faith and this faith that we talk about all throughout the Bible. And turn to Genesis 17 and reading verses 1 through 7. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Be thou perfect. And this word means blameless in the Hebrew. Perfect, blameless, without sin. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. He reaffirms the covenant. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. This is when his name is changed to Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Now this hasn't happened yet, but Abraham now believes everything God is saying to him. In verse 6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Not just a little, but exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. This is all this covenant God gives to Abraham. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed, singular seed, after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant. God's covenants don't end. It's everlasting. To be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So all the way back into the book of Genesis, we have Abraham, example of faith, the greatest faith we'll ever see. That when he was childless, he believed everything God said to him. 99 years old. Obedience is necessary for the outcome of truly trusting in God. And so obedience, as you can see all throughout the Word of God, is made a condition of inheriting God's promises. Obedience goes along with faith always. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, reading verses 16 through 18. Starting at verse 16. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Now we know the story that God asked Abraham to offer his son. And Abraham, out of faith and obedience, was going to do just that. Verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. You can't count it. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. What an honor and privilege, Abraham, because he believed God's voice. He had faith that God made this covenant with him and all the generations that would come from him. And when you look at your chart, you can follow those generations all the way down to Jesus. And the covenant is on the bottom of your chart. So turn to Genesis chapter 26. Just reaffirming this covenant God made with Abraham and those descendants. Genesis 26, reading verses 1 through 5. And there was a famine in the land, because the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Because Abraham obeyed, that covenant was passed down through his children. But it goes all the way to our time, the nations that will inherit this from God. Let's turn to Jeremiah. So how are we the seed of Abraham? Because we just read all about this covenant that was made, that it was going to be given to Abraham's seed. How are we that seed? In Jeremiah chapter 31. And reading verses 31 through 34. Jeremiah 31, starting at verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. They broke that covenant. Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. A husband taking care of the children, leading and guiding them out of the land of Egypt. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This was the prophecy about the new covenant. Who is the only one that forgives sin? Who forgives sin? Jesus, God. God is the only one that can forgive sin. Jesus' name, by salvation, there is no other way. You have to go through the name of Jesus. So this is prophecy here that is now fulfilled today. Today. Because we have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We have that precious gift that Jesus shed his blood on the cross for each and every one of us. Only he can forgive iniquity and not remember our sins anymore. So let's turn to the New Testament. Let's just reaffirm what we just read in Jeremiah in Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, and reading from verse 8, says exactly the same thing. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. What a horrible place to be in when God doesn't regard you anymore. You don't want to ever find your place there when God doesn't have anything to do with you. He doesn't regard you because you disobeyed him. You made the choice. In verse 10, for this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Once again, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So it just reaffirms this prophecy. Paul knew it. He put it in the book of Hebrews because they understood what Abraham meant, what that promise, that covenant to Abraham meant. So let's turn to Romans chapter 4. And look at how we can be the seed of Abraham. Romans chapter 4, reading verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Okay, Abraham did not receive that promise because he was under the law. He received that promise because of his faith. Because of his faith. And in the same chapter, drop down to starting at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Works didn't get Abraham that covenant. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So now you see how we're the seed of Abraham because of our faith. He is the father. He originally had that faith. And going on in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope. This is Abraham. Against hope, because he was old, past the time of childbearing, he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, past the time of childbearing, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. What great faith Abraham had. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that when he had promised, he was able also to perform. He knew that if his son, if God took his son, that God was able to raise him back up or give him another child. He had that kind of faith. And going on in verse 22, and therefore that faith, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe. Here we go. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Just reaffirming what Jeremiah the prophet said, that Jesus died on that cross for our sin and was raised again for our justification. So we have access to that infilling of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. Seeing Abraham, how are we from that line? Galatians chapter 3, and this whole chapter you can read, and it's all about explaining about Abraham and that spiritual side. But I'm going to highlight, just go through and read some of the scriptures in here. So reading verses 6 through 9. Even as Abraham believed God, he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So believing brought that obedience and faith. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That's how I know that I'm a children of Abraham, because of my faith. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, and this heathen, it means the nations. God would justify the nations through faith. You're all here because of faith. You have to have faith, or you wouldn't be here. So faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Once again, that covenant God gave to Abraham. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And this faithful means believing. So we're blessed because we're of the faith. We're blessed with Abraham, the same, that he was blessed because he believed. And drop down to verse 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. We are part of that group, the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You can't receive it if you don't have faith. You've got to have faith. Drop down to verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds. Now that's what I was pointing out back in the Old Testament. He didn't say plural, singular seed. And to seeds as of many, but as of one. One. And to thy seed, which is Christ. That promise was given all the way back to Abraham, the promise of Jesus Christ. And drop down to verses 20, starting at verse 23 in Galatians chapter 4. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Now, that's not a place that I want to be. I don't want to live under the law, because you couldn't have righteousness by the law. And the law was, well, you read the Old Testament law and tell me if you want to live under the Old Testament law. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. This is just all part of the plan. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. faith. There's that faith. Got to have it. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You got to have faith. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And praise God, we're going to have a baptism tonight. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. That's how he sees us. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. We are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That same covenant that God made with Abraham is for us today. We're the children of Abraham because we have faith and we obey, just as he did. And I'm going to give you one last scripture in Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, reading verses 9 and 10. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations. Here's the fulfillment of that covenant God made with Abraham and to his seed, which is us. I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And that's you. That's you. After the rapture, after our work, before the throne of God, part of that nation, that people and kindreds that God told Abraham he was going to bless and he was going to fulfill his children, his seed, which is us. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. They're praising God, even in heaven, even in New Jerusalem, just as we praise God here. That doesn't ever end, praising God. We see this covenant fulfilled in these verses that God made to Abraham and to his seed, which is you and me, if we have faith. If we have faith. The faith as Abraham had. And if you can study more about his life and see what a great man he was and why God imputed to him righteousness because of his faith and obedience to what God brought to him. So you have your chart here. You can take that home with you. It kind of gives a nice little outline of from Abraham to the seed of Jesus. You have anything else you'd like to add? Marty?
Yeah, I'm actually studying faith recently, and I don't know if it's a translation thing mainly, but it's the word faith is only used once in the Old Testament in the book of Hosea. But the words like faithful and trust, and I look at the definition of faith in Hebrews 11th chapter. You know, the evidence, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen, and it makes me think of how, you know, it's always been taught the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament, and you know, they had faith that they're going to, you know, they're not going to get overtaken, they're going to win the war, they're going to have food the next day. And, you know, I think we need to have faith that we can have more spiritual things in God and have, you know, deeper relationship with him and gifts and that kind of thing.
Amen. And you can read chapter 11 in Hebrews, which is a wonderful chapter to read on the faith. And it lists out all these great men and women in the Old Testament that lived by their faith. And it gives you specific examples that you can really relate to. And then you can go back and read the full story in the Old Testament when you have time and you want to study that. All right, so we're closing chapter 3 next week. No, not next week, because that's graduation. It's next Wednesday. We'll be going into chapter 4. So if you haven't gotten your new questions, they're out in the book that says Wednesday. So get those and study. Study, study. It's very beneficial to you to study. Amen? All right, thank you, Lord.